As I was preparing to speak yesterday, Straits Times had an interesting article of two parties who were claiming an interest in a certain fortune left by someone who died in 1925. That fortune was worth over 100 million Sing dollars. Amazing. And they thought that they should have a part of it, being somewhat related to this dead man. The judges studied the case and said, sorry, you are not related enough. So, nothing. Dear friends, do you know you have an inheritance in a place where thieves have no access? And as the Lord says, don't put your heart on things on earth. Lay not treasures on earth, because here there are moths and rust. What do you mean by moth? If you store a lot of dollar notes, you may find one day when you open your chest, it's all eaten up by white ants. It's gone. Or thieves. Who are the thieves? So sad. So many people have put their life savings into respectable, time-honored firms run by respectable so-called investment experts. Suddenly you're told every cent has gone into nothing. The latest is there's this man whose name is called Madoff, and they say he's made off with billions of dollars, 57 billion, because he's a master thief. This economic crisis teaches us one thing. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't set your hopes on earth. This is the wrong place to set your hopes. I received an email from the States from a certain relative, and she says, all our plans to visit you next year have to be shelved. Now we have got to recoup and work double time. Each of us, husband and wife, take two jobs to make up for the losses in the investments like we, some of us here, have lost. How sad. Now cheer up, dear friends. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 is our key verse. It talks here of something that is beyond the hands of greedy thieves in investment companies. Verse 12 says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, people such as Abraham, is our prime example for us all to follow. Whereas he had no one to set the precedence, no Bible to read, nothing, only faith that God gave him. Now look at verse 12. Be not slothful, but be followers of them who, through faith and patience, inherit wonderful inheritances promised by God. Question is, do you know? And if you know, do you believe? It's amazing. This chapter gives us tremendous hope and cheer in the face of many dark reports, many discouraging reports, people whose money have taken wings and flown off. God has given us an inheritance, and this inheritance is the topic of our study tonight. Do you know something of this inheritance? If you have the book turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we will see something about this inheritance. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Yes, If you haven't found it, doesn't matter. I'll read for you. It says here, this inheritance is something I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Do you love Him, dear friends? This is the question always, not just tonight. Every day, check on yourself. How much do you love the Lord, who has not only saved you from everlasting destruction, but has prepared a wonderful inheritance? Do you know? What is it like? It says here, no one has seen, neither has heard, nor entered into the heart, the things that God has prepared for them. But verse 10 gives us a lot of encouragement. Verse 10 says, God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God is our constant comforter, to strengthen us, encourage us. You have trusted in the Lord. Don't turn back. Don't give up. No matter what happens, He is your only hope. Without Him, no hope. With Him, an everlasting hope of an inheritance coming your way. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. When you have that hope, hold fast to it, for it is the anchor of your soul. Continue in verse 10. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. These are the deep things of God which you got to be diligent in study, to know what is the inheritance. It's not enough to say, I know I am saved. As Hebrews 6 says, can you look back to Hebrews chapter 6 now? Hebrews 6 says, verse 1, leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. It's not enough just to know the doctrines of salvation. You finish the BBK, you feel pretty good. Basic Bible knowledge. Now you've graduated. Now you know everything, right? No, dear friends, wrong. You don't know anything except the beginning. Now we must go on. Verse 2 of the doctrine of baptisms, laying out of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. These things are very good to begin with. But you must now go on to study the Scriptures. Where did they come from? How do we know they are true? What must we do with them? How can we continue to believe the Bible when there are difficult things you cannot understand? What must you do? Verse 3. This we will do, if God permit. That is, leave off those early fundamental truths that you have learn, and don't keep on just going on around those things, but move on. Because if you do not, and false teachings come your way, you may be deceived, because you do not have further knowledge, deep things of God. I brought with me a copy of this yellow journal, and I put two little stacks on the communion table. When you leave, at the end of the service, outside on the table, there are two more stacks. Please take one. You say, well, that is for college students. I say, what's wrong with college students? Are you not worthy to be a college student? There are two articles here which are very relevant to what we are going to talk about, and specially written in simple English, that you ought to know that today things are not as before. Satan is more active, never so active. What is he doing? Answer, attacking the Word of God. From day one, Genesis chapter 3, until now, all these thousands of years, this book tells you, there are agents of Satan. And if you do not know the doctrines, you will be deceived. Why? Because that fellow is so learned. Wow, he's got all kinds of degrees, and he's the professor in North Carolina University, professor of Christian religion. Oh, he must be very clever. Yes, absolutely. Very clever to work for Satan. So he started. This man is called Bart Ehrman. Ever heard of the name? If not, from tonight you know. And he says that he started as a fundamentalist like us. Now don't think and kid yourself and be so confident that, well, I'm a fundamentalist today. I believe everything the Bible says. But you can never tell, because this man was like what we are today. Then he became a new evangelical, one who says, doesn't matter. Be friendly. Don't be so contentious. Sit in the middle. Be a fence sitter. Then he degenerated into a liberal. What is a liberal? You ought to know, dear friends, a liberal is one who takes the Bible and dissects it. And with unbelieving heart, he talks a different religion altogether, but uses the Bible. He is not a believer. Then he finally, after being a liberal, becomes an agnostic. It cannot be known. Simply. So I don't know whether it is true or false. And in the end, he loses his salvation. So this is a book you ought to read. This is on page 46. Now it's interesting to study his teacher. Where he learned all these things from. His teacher was a very respectable person. Some people call him, wow, almost like God. So great and knowledgeable. And his name is called Bruce Metzger, editor of Revised Standard Version and New Revised Standard Version. Very important, very popular New English Bible. Now, what does he say? He is a professor at Princeton. Wow. When you hear Princeton, you almost shiver. He must be very holy to come from Princeton. Now, he has made it his prime objective to bring out a Bible acceptable to Protestants, that we are Protestants, also acceptable to the Roman Catholics, also acceptable to the Greek Orthodox, the three major denominations on earth. So that is his job. And he succeeded so that his Bibles are accepted, and accepted because they are corrupt enough. You understand? Corrupt enough, bad enough that the other denominations accept it. Please get a copy when you go. So, what is at stake, dear friends? Will these people be entitled to the inheritance? After all, they are professors of theology in respectable universities. They have taught the Bible. Remember what our Lord said. Matthew 7 says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, let me into heaven, because I have done so many wonderful things in your name. I have taught in the seminaries theology in your name. I even cast out devils and do wonderful things. What does the Lord say to them? Depart from me. You have preached iniquity. You have preached false doctrine. You deny that the Bible was preserved, and you've done your own translation and twisted the Bible and corrupted the Bible translation. Jesus says, I don't know you. How sad. Tonight, I speak very seriously and solemnly to all present here at this meeting. No matter who you are, no matter how well you know the Bible, the most important thing is to believe what the Word of God says. If God says it in this King James Bible, He says it, I believe it. That settles it. There is no further argument, provided it is this Bible. If you take the Revised Standard Version done by Metzger and his crowd of apostates, be careful. There is poison. Now, why are we so serious and worked up, you may say, concerned about these things? Hebrews 6:4. Because there is a very important reason. Don't you think it is just easy matter, doesn't matter, as long as I say Jesus is my Savior, I am saved? I say, don't be so sure. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift. They can confess Jesus as Savior and are partakers of the Holy Ghost even, because they have receive the unction for one time and they seem to be like one of us. Verse 5, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. But, verse 6, if they shall fall away, here it is, dear friends, it may be some of you will be hearing some other preacher, someone with an impressive degree who speaks so well, so convincingly, that you begin to move and to shake in your foundations. Then fall away to renew them again unto repentance is impossible. Once a man goes apostate and falls away, there is no way to retrieve them, to rescue them, to restore them. There is just simply no way, because they once tasted of the goodness of God. They knew the gospel, but they have rejected it and taken on another gospel. This is the falling away. So, we read again verse 6. If they shall fall away, for us to renew them again unto repentance, it is impossible, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Now, how can you be sure? How can you and I be sure that we will persevere in our faith? And at the end of the road, we come to the door of heaven, you will hear the Lord say, "Welcome. Welcome home." Now, how can you be sure? There is that wonderful inheritance at stake. First of all, let us see something of that inheritance. A little more of what we have read from 1 Corinthians 2. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And here God's Word by the Holy Spirit reveals to us, to you and me, that we may understand what truly is the inheritance that is reserved for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, all of God and none of us, if you have an inheritance reserved in heaven for you, keep thanking Him, because you have done nothing of your own merit to deserve it, but by His mercy. Right, we read again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy to you and to me, has begotten us again unto a lively hope. He has given us the new life, His life, the spiritual life. We are born again by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. And given us the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, all because Jesus died, rose again, returned from the dead to be our leader and our hope, our only hope, outside of Jesus resurrected from the dead and alive and continuing to be our Savior, we have no hope, none at all. And to talk of inheritance without a living, resurrected Savior is talking foolishness, empty dream. But thank God. Now, because Jesus lives, then we have an inheritance. Look at verse 4 now. That inheritance. These verses are so good. You read with me, please, together. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Amazing inheritance. I read to you again, and you try and remember them. This inheritance is not like the one that I talked at the beginning. It may be $100 million, but first of all, you've got to spend a lot of lawyers' fees, thousands of dollars to engage lawyers to begin to fight for you. The inheritance that Jesus has won for us was won for us on the cross and is given to us freely by grace. When you come to Him, He gives you that inheritance. Safeguard it. Treasure it. Every day, thank God for it and live for it. All right? This inheritance is incorruptible. Supposing these parties who went fighting for the inheritance were to get the money. That money is not always what you get. Suddenly it can go devalued. If you invest it, it suddenly can fly away, take wings. You get nothing. It does not fade away, it says here. The inheritance that God gives you is incorruptible, cannot be devalued, undefiled. It's not like a house that can go rotten and the roof can leak and the foundations can be eroded. No, this inheritance in heaven is mansions preserved by God for you, built of indestructible, undefiled, incorruptible material. Do you know that? That is what God has made for you and preserved for you. Now read on. It fades not away. It doesn't grow old. It doesn't go rotten and break down. No. In heaven, everything remains perfect all the time, guarded by the wonderful grace of God. And it is reserved. What do you mean by reserved? You have your name on it. No one can take it from you. It is yours, guaranteed by the precious blood of Jesus that you put your faith in. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. To be revealed in the last time. Today is not the last time. We are near the last time. The last time is coming up shortly. And I say, dear friends, when you see the signs, look up, cheer up. No matter how these economic troubles are, you're reminded my Savior is in absolute control. And He's coming for me, and He's bringing for me this wonderful inheritance and introducing me into His heavenly home. How wonderful this is. The promise made to all of us. Now, how can we be sure that we will be faithful? Back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We read our key verse in verse 12 and then go on to verse 13. Are you there, please? Verse 12. That ye be not slothful. Don't be lazy and refuse to read God's word and say, I know enough. I say, no, we never know enough. The more you study, the more you know that you don't know. And therefore, persevere, be not slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We have examples. People who've gone the same way as we and who have been tried with difficulties, far, far more than you and I have been tried. Temptations. And the name given to us here is Abraham. Our opening hymn says, the God of Abraham, praise this wonderful name. The first ever Christian who was called. And he never doubted. This is a sort of faith we need to have. The faith of Abraham that will see you to the end. Abraham was well settled in modern Iraq, that great country called Ur of the Chaldees. And Jesus, the Lord, appeared to him and said, Abraham, follow me. Abraham was glad to see my day, and he rejoiced in it. Amazing! The household idols never spoke to me. They do nothing. Now there is someone who speaks to me. The voice of God. How did he know? God helped him by the Holy Spirit. And he followed. Not knowing where he went. When his neighbors asked him, Abraham, you're moving house. Yeah. Where are you going? Don't know. What a guy. He's moving house. He doesn't know where he's going. But, dear friends, so it is. When God speaks, follow. And so Abraham followed. You turn to chapter 11, and then you will be much blessed as God had blessed Abraham. Hebrews 11, just four or five more pages forward. Verse 8. When you follow the example of Abraham, you can be sure if you follow faithfully, at the end of it is the inheritance. But you got to follow with faith and with patience. Do you have that? How can I have it? Answer, pray for it. Keep praying for faith. I have told this story, I repeat it so that you will not forget. When I went to live with grandfather, I was 6 years old, and he says, grandson, come here. I teach you one prayer. Every day pray for faith. I say, grandfather, what is faith? Ah, never mind. It's just simply believing what God says. You pray for it. I say, you tell that to your grandchild, or to your son, or your daughter, or to yourself. Pray every day for faith, Lord, that I will remember and believe all that you say. If you have said it, so it is. I will follow, I will obey, I will believe. This is faith. Now, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. How foolish! Because the next part of the sentence is, he went out not knowing where he was going, but he knew the one who called him. Knew where he was going. He knew the one who called him had something wonderful he never had before. I say, by faith. Thank God for that faith. So, by faith. Verse 9 says, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. When he arrived there, he questioned, is this the kind of land that I have to give in exchange for my Ur of the Chaldees? That is the breadbasket of the Middle East. Iraq is the place where the two rivers flow, Euphrates and the Tigris. And that is the most fertile, most fruitful, most productive land. Now you come. Those of you who have been to Palestine, you know, it's very dry, rocky, arid, brown everywhere. And Abraham questioned God, is this where? And the Lord says, no, Abraham, look up. That is where your home is going to be. I call you out of there to be the first of all the Christians who believe God. And your home is not on earth. Verse 13. These all died in faith. Who are the all? All the descendants of Abraham. All died in faith, not having received the promises, but saw them afar off. Have you seen your home in inheritance afar off? We remember the hymn, there is a land that is fairer than day. By faith I can see it afar. Can you see it? not with these eyes, but with the eye of faith. When you pray for faith and God gives it to you, you can sing that song with confidence. We can sing all the hymns with confidence. You can read this verse with confidence, that you can die in faith, not having seen it, but you know when you close your eyes, when you open your eyes, you are there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, in the land of promise that God has assured for you. It is there waiting for you. Right? Verse 13. You can die in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off with the eyes of faith. Pray therefore for faith. Dear friends, the inheritance is there. Incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. Reserved for you, only for you, it is there. But have faith, pray for faith. And you'll see it afar off. You'll be persuaded of them. You embrace them. You confess, Lord, I am a stranger upon this earth. So are we. People are so happy, now they come, PR in America, PR in Australia. I say, how wrong you are. Permanent? No. There is nothing permanent on earth. All of us are only temporary. This planet earth is but a dot in God's creation. And it goes round the sun. 365 and a quarter days, one orbit. And with every orbit, you are nearer the end when you will be out of this planet earth. Where do you go? Do you know? God has prepared that wonderful inheritance. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, to take over your inheritance. So, verse 13, the last part says, they confess. They were strangers and pilgrims on earth, so do we. Every day, thank God that while we travel this earth, as John Bunyan says, we are pilgrims fleeing from the city of destruction to the celestial city. That's what we all are doing. Fleeing, running, racing away from the city of destruction, which is planet earth. Don't congratulate yourself if you have been made a Singapore citizen. Permanent. Oh, dear friends, it's a big kind of delusion. Your home is not in Singapore, neither in planet Earth, but in the place that God has prepared for you. And here we are but what? Strangers and pilgrims. This is the example. Abraham ran the race. Abraham was patient. And yet faith in the one who called him, you too, dear friends. Pray for faith, therefore. By faith, Abraham followed. God promised him. Do you know what he promised him? A son. 75, 85, still no son. Then Mrs. Abraham says, why not to take my maid and then you can have a son because she's young, I'm old already. And there was a big mistake. And it gave rise to the everlasting problem of the Arabs versus the Jews today. Yes, that is the beginning of the problem. But nevertheless, God had mercy. And in the 99th year, she became pregnant. When Abraham was 125 years after the promise, was born the son of promise, his son, Isaac. What a wonderful story, isn't it? Dare you believe in the God who promised you an inheritance. He is the same God who brought forth Isaac for Abraham and Sarah. Against the gynecological possibilities. No hope. You're menopausal for so many years already. How can you ever have a baby? But God can do the impossible things. What is your problem today? We all have problems. Come to the Lord and cry out to Him. Have faith in Him. By faith and patience. I read to you again that key verse, our golden text is verse 12. Be not slothful. Study the story of Abraham. Go through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Know the story of this one amazing man called Abraham. The first one who ever responded to God's call and followed without question. And in the end, he received the inheritance. Verse 12, therefore, please follow. Be not slothful. Study your Bible. Attend the FEBC. You do not stop because you finished BBK. Now I've graduated. I say, you just begun. There's so much more to study. And you say, why study? I say, why study? If you do not, false doctrines come your way. You do not know they are false doctrines. But when you know the truth, then you know the false. So be not slothful. Join up with FEBC. Go and study the Word of God under trustworthy, godly teachers. But be followers of them who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Who do you follow? Not Metzger, not Bart Ehrman, and all those people who sing the ecumenical tune today. That is the Vogue. The one in fashion is all be loving, all unite, everybody to be one in Christ. I said that is the greatest lie of the age. Not everyone is in Christ. So let us all be faithful, patient, for we shall inherit the promises in the wonderful inheritance, the place reserved for you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, that we will persevere in the truth and be faithful unto death. For then we know You will give us a crown of life. Bless Your people as we conclude this service and help us daily to be grateful and thankful for our Savior, who is our hope and anchor of the soul. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen. Amen. Now, we close with a hymn.